You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm speaking today, and it's really not, I'm not really speaking on friend, but I am preaching on what a friend we have in Jesus. I'm glad for Jesus Christ. You know, he's the answer for this world of ours today. 2% of this world, 2% of this world claim to be Christians. 98% of this world claim they do not know Jesus Christ. In an African country today, there's a group of religious leaders that are so opposed to Christians. They have burned, in the last many years, 18,000 church buildings. They slaughtered over 100,000 Christians. Think of that. They slaughtered 100,000 Christians for knowing Christ as their Savior. We live here in freedom today. God's so good to us. And yet, why would you reject this great friend, Jesus Christ? I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says. I have a friend, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. You know, Brother Swanson, I look at my life and I look at how easy, how prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. How easy I can mess up. How easy it is to sin. How easy it is to get angry or upset or disappointed with myself or others. And I don't want to live that way. But Jesus never leaves me. He's always with me. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Anyway, he always will go with you. This morning, if you had chosen to go to a tavern, a saloon, a bar, whatever you want to call it, if you had chosen, he would have gone with you to the tavern. But he would have been so miserable. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, lives within you. He would have gone with you. But he says, I'm not happy here. I want to be at the house of God. And God is a friend. He sent his son, Jesus, who is a friend. I want to talk to you about that friend today, using this woman. And I want you to see that this woman, her awful condition, she had a terrible condition. Jesus went forth, the Bible said, on the Mount of Olives. Olives is about 200 feet above Jerusalem. And Jesus spent a lot of time up on the Mount of Olives. That's where he wrote the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. That's where the Eastern Gate is, and that's where Jesus Christ is going to come again and go through that Eastern Gate. The Muslims have control of that temple site today. The Muslims do not believe that anybody should ever walk through a Muslim cemetery unless they're Muslim. They have the right to kill that person who's not. And right there at the Eastern Gate, they have over 100,000 souls that are buried, so no one can ever come through that Eastern Gate. But guess what? Jesus is coming through. That's what his word declares. He's on the Mount of Olives writing, looking down into Jerusalem. And he writes, he said, early in the morning came all the people. Remember, he was late last night with people in the chapter 7. And then early in the morning in the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. They set her in the midst. They said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. They set her in the midst, right smack dab in the middle. You imagine how terrifying that must have been for that woman? Yes, the woman was sinning. Adultery is sin. I think going on pornography, that's pornography that's on the internet. You're sinning against your mate. You're committing immoral adultery with a person that's not your mate. I would challenge you, in this room there has to be hundreds that do that. I challenge you to get right with God and get right with your mate. But Jesus saw this woman there, right in the midst. You imagine, Brother Fuller, the tears that were coming down her eyes. You imagine the fear. She had to be afraid. And the bewilderment. Here I am. I was committing adultery and they got me. This woman had an awful condition, but no more awful than my condition. No, I've never committed adultery or fornication, but I was a sinner. And sin separated me from God. I told you earlier, I lied to my parents. That's sin. You don't say, well, this is a bad sin, and this is not a bad sin, and this is a bad one, this is a little white lie sin. No, they're all sins. And the Bible says, because of this woman was brought into the auditorium, and she was considering her shame, her humiliation, and her anguish, and her tears, and her frustration. She sat in the middle. I want you to see, secondly, the religious concern, the callous people that brought her there. The Bible says in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees brought him unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law. You know, it's amazing how many people know the Bible but don't know Jesus. The Pharisees did not know Jesus. They were supervisors that everybody has to, you have to dot the I, you have to cross the T, you've got to live right, you got to obey all the law, you got to do all these things. They never did it, but they made sure everybody else did it. The scribes, and the Bible says, and they took this woman, and now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And they said, tempting him. Then do I have to accuse him? Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he had not even heard them. He's not even listening to them. It angered him, the Bible says. And when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. It's an amazing thing how that people can pass laws and regulations in their hearts and minds against you and your sin. You know, some of you in this room today, in this very room, are alcoholics. Some of you in this room are drug addicts today. Some of you in this room today have an ankle bracelet on. You have permission to come to church. All sorts of sins are being committed. I've been dealing with people for 50 years as pastoring this church. And I've dealt with so many people, thousands of people, that are involved in sin. I've never seen where sin winds up to be a happy experience.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But I tell you what, as I deal with people in sin, my heart aches for them. My heart breaks for them. My heart breaks for the alcoholic today. I can't imagine, I'm not a good person, but I've never tasted alcohol in my life. But I can't imagine the grip that alcoholism can have on a soul. You have no control over that alcohol. It controls you. You don't control it. Brother Flood, I can't imagine today being addicted to any type of drugs. I can't imagine it. I have no idea how that you could be addicted, and yet I have an idea that it enslaves you. I want to tell you, you have a friend in Jesus.
Amen.
alcoholic, you have a friend in him. You might not, your parents may have disowned you. They're tired of it. Your parents may have disowned the alcoholic and the drug addict and this one and that, and all the sins that you commit. But Jesus never disowns you. He has outstretched arms and says, come on home. Like the prodigal son, come on home. You're not going to find me putting one thing online about everybody else's sin. I'm not going to write about your sin. I'm not going to preach about you specifically. Well, this person said, that's what these Pharisees were doing. That's what these scribes were doing. They came to a point and they set this poor woman. Yes, she was wrong. She was sinning, but they set her right in the midst and said, now, how are you going to deal with this woman? If that's your spirit toward mankind, you don't have the right spirit. Jesus Christ came into this world to save, seeking to save that which is lost. Jesus is concerned for you more than your alcohol. Jesus is concerned more about your alcoholism than you are. Jesus is concerned about whatever addictions you fight. And the Bible says that this awful condition of this woman is religious concern. But I want you to see the Savior's compassion. Don't you love this? Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, here's what he said. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. By law, they should have stoned her. They could have stoned her. That's the Mosaic law. But God says, you cast the stone. You that are so flawless, you that are so perfect in your life, you that can find fault in everyone else, don't find fault in someone else and then blow it all up on the internet. Most of that, and I know we're seen in every country of the world right now by internet. It does good things. We're in every state right now. It's amazing how many people are watching. But I tell you what, I think vastly, that internet does more damage than good. People can write anything they want to write about anybody else and criticize and attack. And whenever someone does that, there's always three fingers pointed back at you. Don't waste your life writing against your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, your upbringing. Don't waste your life with that garbage. Amen. God says, Jesus said, if you have no sin, you cast the first stone. And when they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the eldest to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing still in the midst. Still right there. I don't know if they had her standing right there, right in the midst of the whole crowd. Right in the middle. And they all left her. And Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? Where are these that are attacking you? You talk about a compassionate Savior, Brother Reimers. Jesus loves you today, child of God. Amen. If you're saved, Jesus loves you. You and your husband are at such odds, that doesn't bring honor to God. You are a step away from divorce, that doesn't bring honor to God. Are you divorced? All of it, whatever it is, whatever the situation, Jesus can solve everything. I love being a pastor. I love it. I know the day is going to come when I'll be too old for you. I know that's coming. And I just dread it. I don't know how I'd live without pastoring this church. But can I tell you something? That these 50 years here, I found that God always works everything out. Amen. God always does, Brother Peter. He always works it all out. And I can tell you, when we submit our souls to him, when we submit our lives to him, God always works it out. I don't know how couples, you're arguing. Why are you arguing? You may only have another week to live with that man or that woman. Yeah, it'd be good if God took him. No, don't live that way. You're not solving your problem. Turn to Jesus Christ, and the two of you on your knees get together every night and pray, oh God, restore our marriage. I'm bitter at my wife right now. I'm bitter at my husband right now. I don't like my mate. I don't like even you, God. I don't even like church. Well, pray every single night together.
Amen.
Pray for the next 30 days. Amen. That God would break not your wife's heart, sir, but your heart. Well, my wife's seen another man. Pray that God would break your heart, sir. That God would speak to your heart, not your wife's heart. That God would deal with you. I have never in my life prayed, and I have a long, long prayer list. But when I come to my wife, I don't have things that I'm asking God to change her. She's going to have to let God do that in her life. I have on my prayer journal that I might be a good husband to her. That I might be patient with her, that I might be understanding with her, that I might love her, that I might meet every need she has. I've got all these things I pray about for my life, for her, but she's gonna have to answer to God. It's up to me to keep my heart right with my wife. It's up for me to keep my heart right with my children and our grandchildren. It's up to me to keep my heart right with deacons. It's up to me to keep my heart right with staff. It's up to me to keep my heart right with the people of God at this great church. I could tell you for a fact, Jesus will never fail you. He always shows up. We've got 53 years of marriage in December. Jesus has showed up in our marriage so many times. We've laid so many loved ones to the grave. My wife's mother, 55 years ago at age 45, she died, left 8 kids. Yesterday, 55 years. And she's laid to rest, and her dad's laid to rest, and my dad's laid to rest, and my mother's laid to rest, and my sister's laid to rest, and her brother's laid to rest, and our niece's laid to rest. And we've got all these relatives that are so close to us. All of our aunts and uncles are passed away. But I tell you what, Jesus has always been there to comfort our hearts. I remember that day your brother passed away last December, but the day we got the phone call from him, and they said, someone called and said, there's been an emergency, Jack, Sunday afternoon, got home. We had it on the answering machine. And I called immediately Rockford Memorial Hospital. You know what I'm talking about. I knew that's where they were. Her dad's a preacher, 57 years. I said, is there a Pastor Swanson there? They said, he's here. I said, I'd like to talk to my son-in-law in California. They said, Jack, Jennifer, it's his first granddaughter. Jennifer's gone. I said, she's gone. He said, she just died in a car accident on the way home from church this morning by the family farm road. That car was hit from behind and landed up on the brown farm on the corner. They took the jaws of death and took the roof off that and pulled her out. Your brother Rich was sitting right next to Dwayne. Her dad was there at that spot. And he saw it, goes, Dwayne, watched her breathe. He says, you're gone. Your daughter's gone. That was such a hard moment. We flew back to the funeral. And I could tell you that our hearts are always broken for Jennifer. But can I tell you this? That God met our need through Jennifer's death. God never will leave you nor forsake you. I'm out of time. I want you to see one more thing. The Savior's caution. Look at what he cautioned this woman, verse 11. And he said, no man, Lord. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said, here he is. Neither do I condemn thee. Watch it. Go and sin no more. That's a friend. Jesus forgives everything. I don't know how a man loses his opportunity to preach the gospel, but I totally understand it. And I understand every sin that I've ever committed, God's forgiven it. God will forgive your sin today. Whatever sin you carry in this room, God will forgive it. But you have to place your faith and trust in Him. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, I have more to say, but I think I said enough today. Thank you, Lord, for this great friend called Jesus. This woman that was so embarrassed and humiliated, thrown in the middle of the crowd and accused, and rightfully accused, but not with the right spirit. Thank you that Jesus forgave her. And she said, Lord, she confessed that He was my Savior. Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Help us to be loving and forgiving to the sinner. Help us to be loving and forgiving to the saint who sins. God, may we realize, but for the grace of God, there go I. Who knows how I can mess this thing up before I die? Lord, I pray that we'd live for Thee. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And young people up there, you listen so carefully today. Thank you so much. I wonder in this room how many can say, in a moment by lifting your hand with their heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, I'm a Christian. If I were to die today, I'm saved. Could you slip your hand up with no one looking? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You may put them down. How many would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to. I want to make sure of my salvation. And I won't call you out by name or anything. I won't point out where you're at. But would you just slip your hand up? I need to be saved. I know I do. Only Jesus can save my soul. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May put them down. Thank you. And who else? I need to be saved. God bless you. Who else? I know I do. I know I need to be saved. God bless you and you. Thank you so much. Who else can lift your hand? I need to be saved. I know I do. I need to have my name put in the book of life like you did 69 years ago. Pray for me. Pray for me. Our Father, I promised these people I'd pray for them. I pray that they'd come forward and let someone pray with them and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Thank you for the fact that we can have all of our sin forgiven. From the balcony, bring folks down these aisles. And from the lower floor, bring folks into this auditorium to get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, we'll stand. If you're in the balcony, you raise your hand. I'm going to invite you to just come on down these stairs right here on both sides and just come, and a lady will take the word of God and show a lady how to be saved. It just takes a few moments and pray. A man will show a man how to be saved. I'm so glad. You know, I was so afraid. I was so afraid, Brother Martinez, I was afraid to walk on out that aisle. And they sang that first stanza and second, I believe it was the third. And I remember standing right and walked out like this, and the load that was lifted. Just a load was lifted. It was easy walking down that aisle. My little church building was really small, like this, over here, about 15 minutes from here. Lanterns glowing that night in that little auditorium. And I remember walking forward and asking Christ to be my Savior. He changed my life. And only Christ can change you. Are you saved? Are you a member of this church, but you're not saved? Get saved today.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.